want you to consider just for a moment, what is your goal in life? Because after all, life is short. I find that out as years go by. It feels very, very, very short. And you don't have time to accomplish everything that you want to get done. So what do you most desire to have finished by the time your life is over with? Now for Paul, in our scripture reading, Paul's desire was to be like Christ. Take a look at Philippians again. In Philippians chapter 3 and in verse 8, Paul says, "Moreover than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ, and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own, derived from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the base righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith." This is what Paul desired. This is what Paul wanted out of his life. In fact, the design of the church that Christ left for us in Ephesians chapter 4, the whole design of the church is to cause us to grow and become like Christ. Ephesians 4, starting at verse 11, "And he gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for this work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we obtain the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him, who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love." We have to understand, growth is important for every one of us. In fact, the only way that we're going to be stable, that we're going to survive as individuals, as we're going to survive as a congregation, is as if each part of us grows and becomes stronger. Take a look at 2 Peter. In 2 Peter chapter 3, and look at verse 17. "You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard, so that you're not carried away by the error of unprincipled men and fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen." And if you think about it, that's true in just about every aspect of life. If you're not growing in your job, you're not going to be very stable at it. If you're not growing as a student in classes, you're not going to succeed. All aspects of life require us to constantly grow. But how do you know that you're on the right track? How do we know that we're making progress? Going back to Philippians, and by the way, you might want to put a marker there because we're going to keep flipping back there. But Philippians chapter 3, look at verse 10. "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death. That I may know." Well, how do I know? Imagine taking a class where for the whole year you never had homework. No quizzes, no tests. Some of you are smiling. Oh, that sounds good. Nothing's required of you until the final. And then your entire grade is based on the final. Sounded really good until I said that, right? A whole year's worth of effort based on just one grade? I don't think I could stand that. How would I know if I'm learning? What if I thought I understood something, but I didn't? You mean I wouldn't find out until it's too late to do anything about it? And suddenly we realize, oh, those homework assignments and those quizzes and those tests, they actually do have a purpose, don't they? They provide us with early feedback so that we know how we're doing. They give us time to make corrections in advance if necessary, instead of waiting until the last moment. Now remember Paul saying, you know, my goal is to reach heaven. Well, how do I know I'm going to make it there? If I wait until all the way until the end of my life, I don't get to go back and fix something. God said, well, you didn't do that right. Well, how can I get back and fix that? Well, it's the same concept. That's why we have trials. Take a look at James chapter 1 and verse 2. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. In other words, you mean those homework and those quizzes and those tests that we had in school, that they weren't misery? In some ways, they felt like it. But then also all those problems that we have in life, all those difficulties, all those struggles, they're not to be just difficult and miserable in a sense, but we're to consider them joy. Why? Because it gives me feedback about whether I'm on the right track or not. It gives us a chance to change. In fact, take a look at verse 5. But if any of you lacks wisdom, there's something I need more. Let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. I get a chance to figure out where I've got some holes in my life, where some things I need to grow in, things I need to improve at, so that I'll reach heaven. In fact, have you ever thought about when you get to verse 5, how do you know that you lack wisdom? Because a lot of kids think they're quite smart. Up until you find out you face some problem, you go, I have no idea how to solve that. And you learn to grow. And then when we reach the end in verse 12, James 1 verse 12, it says, blessed is a man who perseveres under trial. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. If we last through it, we'll succeed. And it can't be just external. Think about it in class. I don't care if the student shows up every single day and is sitting in his seat and looks alert and attentive. If he's not learning, he's not going to succeed. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, look at verse 5. Test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. examine yourselves? Or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Christ Jesus is in you, unless indeed you have failed the test? It has to be inside as well. I have to have that knowledge. I have to have that love. I have to have the right attitude. It's not enough just to do some good deeds or sit in pews. It has to be all of me. And you see, tests force us to apply what we learned. Because there are way too many of us that just drift through life. There are people all around us that just never grow up. And they get scolded, and rightly they should be scolded. Take a look at Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews 5 and verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. You've got to put it into practice. But Paul also mentions something else in Philippians. If we go back to Philippians chapter 3, and starting at verse 12, not that I've already attained it, or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. You got to realize you're not there yet. One of the most frustrating things for a teacher is a student who is confident that he already knows it all. You can't get a thing through that kid's head because they think they have it and they don't need anything. They're not going to learn that much because they're not looking to gain anything, because they think they have it already. But then, have you ever met a Christian who tells you that you can't teach them anything because they already know it all? It's the same problem. See, a mature Christian understands that our goal is to be like Christ. And take a look at 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1. Be imitators of me, just as I am also of Christ. Paul sought to imitate Christ in his life. In his essence, Paul is saying, follow me because I'm trying to catch up with Jesus, and he's way ahead of me. Every disciple ought to desire to be like the teacher. In fact, in Matthew chapter 10, Matthew 10 and verse 25, it is not for the disciple that he becomes like his teacher and a slave like his master. If they have heard of the house of Beelzebub, or head of the, if they have called the head of the house Beelzebub, then how much more will they malign the members of his household? It's enough to be like your teacher. Especially when your teacher is Christ Jesus, he's perfect. I'm not seeking to outdo Christ. I just like to get kind of close, if I could, to what he's like. And remember that passage in Ephesians 4 that we just read just a little bit ago? Take a look again at 4 verse 13. The reason for the church existing, until we have all obtained to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. There's the measuring stick, the fullness of Christ. How long do we need to learn until we are like Christ? I'm not going to make it. What am I going to spend the rest of my life doing? Trying to get more closer to that goal? Now, is there any subject or any topic that I can say that my knowledge and my understanding is equal to that of Christ? Then there's lots for me to learn. And I need to grow up. See, the mature Christian standard is Christ. The immature uses standards that are easier to reach. They measure themselves by brethren. Or look at the people in the world. Hey, compared to them, I'm doing kind of good. See, if I'm the goal, well, hey, I've already made it. In any group, I can always find someone who's worse than I am. But think about it. How far would that take you in class? If all you measured was the other students, I said, hey, at least I'm better than the guy who's flunking. Would that make you succeed in the class? How far will it take you when we stand before God in judgment? You think we're going to be able to get in judgment to say, well, hey, I didn't do the murders like this guy did. The mature Christian knows that as far as I've gotten to this point, I still have a long ways to go. And Jesus sets for us the pattern. Take a look at 1 John. 1 John chapter 2 and in verse 6. The one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. So when I'm faced with temptations, how did Jesus face temptations? Well, he answered with Scripture. Go back to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he then became hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. And he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Then the devil took him on to the holy city and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, on the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to test. And again the devil took him to a very high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world, and all their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give to you, if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, go, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him, and behold, the angels came and began to minister to him. How well do you know your Bible? When you're faced with temptation, does a verse come to mind? Hey, I can't do that because God said. That's what the goal is. That's what we should be striving for. We want to be like our master, our teacher. When somebody does me wrong, then I should return good for the evil, just as he did. Take a look at 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 23. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to the one who judges him righteously. And just like Jesus, when somebody is in need, I need to show compassion. Take a look at Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14 and in verse 14. And when he went ashore, he saw a large crowd and felt compassion for them and healed their sick. I can't get up wrapped up in my own life. I need to be like my Lord, my Savior. In everything, we need to follow the Lord. And realizing even then that even at my best, I can't obtain what all that I could be. Yet despite that, Paul goes on in Philippians chapter 3 and in verse 13, he says, "Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead." See, a mature Christian doesn't dwell on the past, the good or the bad. I could look back at all the mistakes I made, all my sins, spend my days wallowing in remorse, self-pity. Any one of us could, because after all, Paul points out in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But if I stay in my past, I'm destroyed. Take a look at Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 17. "But if, while seeking to be justified in Christ, we ourselves have been found sinners, is Christ then a minister of sin? May it never be. For if I rebuild what I have once destroyed, I prove myself to be a transgressor." If I go back to thy past, Paul's talking about going back to his past in Judaism, but if I go back to my past, I'm stuck. I haven't grown. I haven't changed. But the other problem is I could look back and look at all the good that I've done. And then I'm tempted to say, that's good enough. Our focus should be on what the good I can do, not the good that I've already done. Jesus told a parable in Luke chapter 17 about a servant who works all day in the fields. And he gets in, absolutely exhausted, and then he has to serve the master dinner before he can even eat. And Jesus ends it and says, "So you too," in verse 10, Luke 17, 10, "So you too, when you do all the things which you are commanded, say, 'We are unworthy slaves. We've only done that which we ought to have done.'" Again, it goes back to, I can't exceed the righteousness of my Lord. I cannot be better than him. All I can say is that when I'm doing these things, that's what the Lord wants me to do. Doesn't make me better than other people. I'm just doing what God said. So we got to forget about the people that we've taught, in a sense. The number that we've baptized. How many sermons that I've given. Or the classes you might have presented. Or the services that you've attended. Or any other work we've done. Because all that matters is what are you doing right now today? If today we leave what is right, are we going to be acceptable? It doesn't matter what our past is then. In fact, in Ezekiel 18, God has this to say. And in verse 24, but when a righteous man turns away from his righteousness, commits iniquity, and does according to all the abominations that a wicked man does, will he live? All his righteous deeds which he has done will not be remembered for his treachery which he has committed and his sin which he has committed. For them he will die. I can't think of a worse fate than to spend most of your life doing what's right and then get to the end and blow it. So we got to reach for the future. Going back to Philippians 3. Philippians 3 and starting with verse 13. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on to the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. A mature Christian does not dwell in the past. Maturity means applying ourselves with effort. Take a look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy 2 verse 15, be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. I don't want to stay a baby my entire life. 1 Peter chapter 2, and starting with verse 2. Like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. It means always working, but having a purpose to it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. But you look at it, you say, that's a long time to work. But it means we have to not get tired. In Galatians chapter 6, look at verse 9. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who are of the household of faith. There's a goal to reach, and it's not here on earth. Our goal to reach is in heaven. Take a look at Colossians 3. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. If you have died and your life is hidden with Christ Jesus in God, then when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you will be revealed with him in glory. The goal is to be like Christ. The goal is to reach heaven. And God rewards those who work hard for him. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, without faith is it impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So in other words, no matter what level that I've attained or you have attained, there's always something more that I can do. There's always more that I can learn. And that's what Paul told the Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, look at verse 1. Finally then, brethren, we request and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that you receive from us instruction as to how you ought to walk and please God just as you actually walk, and that you excel still more. And down at verse 10 of that same chapter. For indeed, you do practice it toward all the brethren who are in Macedonia, but we urge you, brethren, to excel still more. It doesn't matter what level you've gotten to. Reach the next. And to a mature Christian, nothing then stands in his way of learning and striving to be more like his master. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and in verse 17, for the momentary light affliction is producing for us an internal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. It doesn't matter how much misery, how horrible the life is. It's momentary. Compared to the weight of glory, it's light. We focus on where we're going and not what's here. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 2 Corinthians 5, look at verse 6. Therefore, being always of good courage, and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are of good courage, I say it, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and be at home with the Lord. Therefore, we also have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to Him. And so Paul ends his statement in Philippians chapter 3 and in verse 15. Philippians chapter 3 and in verse 15, he says, let us therefore have as many as are perfected or mature, have this attitude. And if anything you have, a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. Let's have that mind that we are going to grow. We're going to forget about the past. We're looking at what we can do next. Because we only have a short life. And there isn't much time left. If there's anyone here who wishes to become a child of God, there's no better time than right now to put on Christ. To start that journey. And those of you who are Christians and like the prayers of your brethren on behalf, again, we offer an opportunity. Why don't you come forward and stand and sing the song that's selected.